Take it easy and solve the school lunch problem with Spam. S-P-A-M.
こんにちは、タイガークローラジオ。You are listening now, Pak J.
You are listening to Tiger Claw Radio. Number one in vintage computer and video game entertainment. And now your host, Critical Failure.
Hey, you're listening to Tiger Claw Radio. I am your host, Critical Failure. Yes, back after taking a week off due to illness. This is episode 75. What's going on, people? Now, the big news right now is is E3. E3 is a magical time once a year when all of technology gathers in a single location for guys like me to watch and say, that is the reason why I play indie games. All of this and more coming up next. Now, we're going to kick things off with a track from the new one, from J. Arthur Keynes, and that's where the music is going to come from today. It's a brand new album from the J. Arthur Keynes Band. Pick it up from 8bitpeoples.com. It's a free album, and it's awesome. You're listening to Tiger Claw Radio. Making people happy one chip at a time. Yes, friends, once again, that is J. Arthur Keynes, the J. Arthur Keynes Band. The new album is called Computer Savvy, and you can get it over at 8bitpeoples.com. There's going to be a link in the show notes where you can get this awesome album. Absolutely my favorite chip artist. A lot of people like Anna Managuchi. I think they're awesome. J. Arthur Keynes Band, just a little bit better in my opinion. All right, so let's go ahead and get going with... yeah, still a little bit sick. News from this past week. Okay, this past 2 weeks, actually. The biggest thing that I've come across is the Summer Six Pack. Now, the Summer Six Pack is a six pack of indie games, which is available over at indiegamespack.com. And what they've done is it's a lot like the Humble Bundle, except it's instead of name your own price, it's a $10 pack, but the price is $5 if you mention it on Facebook, which is a pretty good deal. Okay, and it contains, let's get the game list here, Azteca, City Rain, Puzzle Gideon, Bob Came in Pieces, Vizzati and Lillian, Paranoid Friendship by Pixel Pickle Games. Great collection. I've played Lillian. Lillian in and of itself is worth $5 at least. I'm not too familiar with the rest of them. City Rain looks like a really good game. Looks like from the Gamersgate page, it appears to be a combination of Tetris and SimCity. Like the city blocks fall from the sky and you have to arrange them into something that works as a city, and it looks really good. Now, I know that's a $10 game, so that alone is going to get me to buy this thing. But the ticket price, according to the website, is $59 for each of the games individually. So you're getting a good deal here. Now, I found out about this on a post from indiegames.com/blog. It's my main source of information. And one thing you got to be aware of is when you buy it, you have 5 attempts to download this thing, and it comes in a gig and a half file compressed folder. And it's all one file. All 6 games, one file, you got 5 attempts to download it. Not too bad, but you should know that going in. If you're, say, if you're running on a junky computer or something like that, might want to go over to your bro's place, get it there, bring it back. Just saying. Okay, so that's the Indie Games pack. What else we got going on right now? Yes, E3. Biggest news at E3 for me was that Minecraft is coming to Xbox 360. It's a Kinect-enabled version of Minecraft with voice commands. Now, I have no idea how Minecraft is going to work with Kinect. I have even less of an idea what voice commands are going to be used for in Minecraft. But it is coming to Xbox 360, which is pretty good. No information as of yet as to what the price is going to be, because if you buy the PC version, it's still about $23 US, and in November, there's going to be another rate hike. So, definitely not a cheap game. You can still get Fortress Craft for about $3 on the Xbox 360. So I'm hoping that it's priced competitively. Now, we do know that the Xbox 360 version is going to be cross-platform with the PC version. Excuse me. So, Xbox 360 customers are going to be able to play with PC users as well in the same multiplayer servers, which is really good because with Minecraft, it's hard enough as it is to get a multiplayer game going. I hope it's a little bit easier with Xbox 360. That, I think, would justify buying it. Well, for me, it would be a fourth time. But buying it again on the Xbox, because if you got a lot of friends, you know, in your Xbox Live account or whatever, I would like to think that it'd be easier to get a multiplayer game going. And multiplayer is really where it's at with Minecraft. It really is. So just food for thought. We will see a little bit more, you know, when it's a little bit closer to release. But we don't know a whole lot right as of yet. All right, so next little bit of news is the new J.R. Thirkeen's album, which we're going to be playing the music from today. It's a great album. It's got 6 tracks. The last album from J.R. Thirkeen's was called Pample Mouse, and that was 4 tracks, and that was awesome. And I think this is really strong follow-up. I think this is their first release on the 8-Bit People's label, which is pretty rad. I'm really excited that it's free, because there's a lot of albums out there that are not great, that are okay, but not great. It costs money. Case in point, the C418 library. That's the guy who does the music for Minecraft. Minecraft soundtrack is $4. And all the other albums that guy has are $1 a piece. They used to be free, but now they're $1 a piece. Got the whole library, not one good album in the lot. They cost, but this doesn't. It's better, and it's free. Good stuff. Moving right along, there was a trailer on TIGSource.com for a game called Super Space Rubbish, which looked pretty good. It was, I guess you would call it technically a physics-based shooter, but the reality is it's just an Asteroids clone. An indie, you know, looks very much like the old Asteroids style with lasers kind of putting everything together. But your ship in this game is very upgradable. You got a great big list of weapons to choose from that you can equip yourself with, and all sorts of stuff. Now, the thing that stopped me from trying Super Space Rubbish, is that it's a $4 game, which is not bad. That $4 also gets you a copy of Dino Run SE from Pixel Jam. Pretty good bundle for those two games, but been playing a lot of Terraria lately. Also, got a few games off of GOG recently. Couldn't spare the $4. But it looks good. Maybe check out the TIG Source article. Watch the trailer. See if it's your thing. There was another TIG Source article 2 weeks ago. This was just before I was supposed to record last week's show. For a game called Skullgirls, which is a fighting game. Now, the title made me think it was going to be really cheesecakey and lots of cleavage and that sort of thing. But no, it was actually very cartoony, very tastefully done. There are about 4 preview videos showcasing the characters and what they can do and that sort of thing. Check it out, Skullgirls. It's an up-and-coming indie game, and which is always fun. In other news, Duke Nukem Forever is finally released. Thousands of gamers simultaneously go, meh. Kotaku writes that Duke Nukem Forever appears to be a full-priced mess. Yes, that's right. Gearbox promised us that they were going to pick up Duke Nukem Forever and make it a reality, make a real game, but nowhere in that promise did they say they were going to make a good game. So says Kotaku, and so says a lot of gamers out there. So if you're interested in buying Duke Nukem Forever, wait for 2 weeks for the price to drop in half. Because, man, that game looks like it's going to blow. That's what they're saying. I'll put a link to the Kotaku article. You can check it out for yourself. I'm in a little bit brighter news on the digital distribution front, which you guys know I'm a big advocate of, at least as it concerns PC games. Electronic Arts has formed a partnership with GOG.com. They've promised 25 or so titles. In the last couple weeks, GOG's dumped out a bunch of games to their catalog. Among them is Wing Commander Privateer, Dungeon Keeper, Sid Meier's Alpha Centauri, and Ultimate Underworld 1 and 2 in a single package. Now, Ultimate Underworld 1 and 2, that's the kind of thing where I'm really glad that you can buy it legit now, and that's a package that has a lot of little extra goodies, which is cool because you couldn't get all that stuff when you were downloading those games as abandonware. However, we're talking about games that have been freely distributed for years and years and years. So, I don't know, but amazing games, and now they're on the GOG catalogs. You can go get them. I think it's $5.99. Ultimate Underworld, I know, is the lower price bracket. But I'm not so sure about the other ones. Wing Commander's $5.99, and so is Alpha Centauri, and so is Dungeon Keeper. Right, so those are not too expensive. Heading over to Steam now. Steam dropped its deal a day. It's a colossal failure. They were doing a deal every day. There was a new deal, and it had a little headline on the main page. Now, I think the second one was Majesty 2, which I picked up because I wanted to have that on my Steam account. I already have it on Gamersgate, but it was like $2.50. I went ahead and bought it. Now, me and a lot of other people thought when Steam announced there was going to be a deal a day that we were all going to be broke. Man, everybody was going to who buys Steam games was going to be broke. I was talking about this with Dalimar, but we let that thing run for a week or 2 weeks, and yeah, I got that one game that I already had because it was cheap. But there was nothing, man. Nothing was good on that download, list. I think there was one game, there was like a sniper game that was normally $20 that dropped to $5 that I might have bought if I could run it. But I wasn't buying any of that stuff, and I don't think anybody else was either. So now it's gone. At least the feature is. See, this is where I get a little confused, because the feature is gone from the main page. However, there is still a deal today. Today, Foreign Legion Buckets of Blood is on sale. It's like $2.50. Down from $5. So that's mediocre, I guess. I bought that game at full price, and I was severely disappointed. But I can't say I wasn't warned, because Dalimar was like, dude, that game sucks. Don't buy it. And I was like, yeah, whatever, but it looks cool, so I'm going to buy it anyway. Yeah, it sucked. On the upside, though, I've been saying this, and I'm saying it again. August 4th to 7th, okay, in Dallas, Texas, there's a free convention, QuakeCon. Last year when QuakeCon happened, they did all week. They did one of those deal a day things on Steam, and that was the time when I managed to get a hold of the entire Quake collection. Which the Quake collection on Steam is way overpriced. Quake 3 alone is $20, and that's a game you can play in a browser for free legally. But the entire collection went on sale for I think $7 or $8, and I picked it up, and that was well worth it. So watch for that. They also had the Doom collection, as well as the Heretic and Hexen and all that stuff. And then, meanwhile, each day while they had all these sales going on, all the id games were like at least 25% off, at least. So there was a lot of good deals that week, and it's just around the corner. I'm waiting for it because I want to get Heretic and Hexen and all those games, and I haven't yet. So that's going to be good. If I was anywhere near Dallas, I would definitely go to this QuakeCon thing because it's a free convention, and it looks good. I've been to the website, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm I've been an avid fan of Quake for a very long time. And there they have world-class tournaments as well as just a bunch of people getting together to play on these massive LAN games, which is just... I've seen these kind of things on television, and they just look amazing, and I would love to take part in one. So that's QuakeCon. If you live in the South or anywhere near Dallas, Texas, definitely look it up because it's going to be amazing. And I would love to see pictures. Maybe when this thing is over with, I'll do a little roundup, read a few articles, and tell you what I think. So that's what's going on down in Dallas and in Steam and whatever. Now over on Gamersgate, our wonderful sponsors, they are hyping their up-and-coming free game download section. Now this is a section that you can download free games completely legally, and that's about all we know about it. They're saying there's going to be a beta in June, and they're hoping for a September launch. So if you go head over to the website, gamersgate.com/freegames, blah, 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 there'll be a link, you know, it's the big URL. It has a countdown, and it's like 80 days left or something retarded like that. So it's going to be a ways away, but it looks like Gamersgate is going to try and do something that's different from what Steam is doing and what GOG is doing, which is awesome, which is one of the reasons why I really like Gamersgate, because they've got their own scheme going, and it's going to be something we haven't seen before. So keep your eyes peeled. Now, speaking of Gamersgate, this past week was expansion week on Gamersgate. A lot of expansions on sale. The Majesty 2 expansion, both of them were insanely cheap. And let's see, it's Monday morning right now, about 11:28 a.m., and I'm going to shoot over to Gamersgate right now and see what's on sale at the moment, because I think the sales change. So I don't want to tell you it's expansion week when they got something else up their sleeve. Now it is... bit my tongue. Now it's Future War Week. Save up to 75% off. And I'm combing through the sales. A few good budget games. I like it when they take budget games and they make them, like, retarded cheap. I get a kick out of that. Cops 2170, The Power of the Law from Joe Wood Studios for $249. I might actually have to buy that. Let's see, Dragon Age Origins Ultimate Edition drops to $30, down from $40, which is pretty cool. Pretty rad indeed. Got some other games for sale. And very cool. So it looks like about 37 games right now on sale in GOG. So go ahead and check out the GOG's, not GOG, Gamersgate sales. There'll be a link to the Gamersgate sales in the show notes, as always, because they're our sponsors and because they're awesome. So that's Gamersgate. In other news, Direct to Drive just finished 75% off all Rockstar games. And in a related story, nobody uses directtodrive.com. screw you, Direct to Drive. You guys suck. Okay, actually, no. Legitimately, there were a couple of deals in there that I might have wanted to take part in. Midnight Club, I think it's called Midnight Club 2, was down to $2.50. And I've heard a lot of bad things about that game. Apparently, it's just... the really crappy car physics from Grand Theft Auto 3 put into a racing game. But it was $2.50, and that's not too terrible. That's like, I'll still take a chance on it even though it's a crappy game. However, that's not enough to get me to sign up for a new website. So that's Direct to Drive. Keep trying, guys. I'm sure I'll start an account there soon. Yes. All right, now let's get to some fun stories. There is a new website that is getting ready to launch that I have signed with. That's right. Tiger Claw Entertainment has signed with a brand new website. This is a site that I've been kind of looming at and hinting at for a while. It's ready to go, man. This is something that the brain behind the operation is Seb, the half-blind gamer, who does the CDI show on YouTube. He's the brain behind the operation, and we've also got 8-Bit Eric and, let's see, a couple other guys. I think it's going to be a really good website. Now, next Saturday at 10 o'clock, I'm going to do a live Tiger Claw Radio event. And it's going to be the launch of this website. So make sure you check it out. Head over to tigerclawtv.com, and there, I'll shoot you over to the new website. And you can open up the Ustream and listen to the show while you poke around and check out what's there. Now, essentially what we're going to have here is another reviewer-type website. The trick here is that anybody can make an author account. Now, granted, if we don't know you and you make one and you post a video, it's going to wait for us to watch it and approve it before it hits the main page. But if you're a video maker, any video maker can get on this website, okay? Pending an editor reviewing and posting your video. But lots of good stuff. Hopefully Jerry Terrifying will be joining us. We got his Mondo Cool TV, which is an amazing show, listed on there, as well as a couple other video makers, lots of podcasts, getting ready to surface. So that's going to be a great website, and I really hope to see you there for the launch next Saturday on TigerClawTV.com. Couple other fun stories. Out of Print Archive. You guys remember them? Oh, yeah. Free, completely legal downloads of old classic video game magazines. Now, their most recent post was Super Play 5, which is a Super Nintendo-oriented magazine from March 1993. And I have a copy downloaded right here that I wanted to flip through a little bit on the air. Let's see. Load this thing up. Alright, Super Play 5. Heavy Metal. Independent Super Nintendo magazine. Now, I like these things for the ads, mostly. But that's just me. I think the first page is a Turtles in Time ad for Super Nintendo, which is pretty banging. I enjoy that. This particular magazine is a UK release. And that's the kind of thing that you only really notice when there's an ad for Contra and it says Pro Protector, or if it shows images of the Super Nintendo itself, and you see it's quite obviously the PAL region system. But most of it is reviews of games and that sort of thing, so it's pretty universal. But that's really cool, man. And there's an ad for the Pro Action Replay, which is pretty nice. Not an ad, but a review and a breakdown. And there's also a review for the Game Genie, which is I get a kick out of because the Game Genie for the Super Nintendo was locked out. It didn't last long. As a matter of fact, I think it was locked out as of Christmas 1994. So from this ad to the time it was locked out, there was about a year or so. So that's pretty cool. So you can check that out over at outofprintarchive.com, which is a fantastic site. Which I highly recommend doing. So stop hanging around and go get it. Terraria, my latest time vortex, has put out a new update, which offers new monsters, a new NPC, and a couple of new bosses, and I think 13 different vanity items, new like armor and stuff that change the way you look. So we're talking the kind of update that's a lot of new content, a lot of new life into the game, more time that you can enjoy it, that kind of thing. So, new update in Terraria. If you bought the game, it's the update is obviously free. If you haven't, it's still $10, you know, which is a great price for this game. I've put about 60 hours into it, so I gotta say, I've been enjoying mine, and that's on Steam. Another kind of fun story that I got here is there's over on the 8-Bit Collective, where normally I get a lot of my music from there to play here on the show, I was looking at the images, the image post, and there's a guy who made professionally molded silver DMG buttons. So if you have an original Game Boy, the original one, you can get silver buttons, real silver buttons for the Game Boy. And I gotta say, it looks pretty neat. That's the kind of thing where it's like, the guys over there and their Game Boys, specifically the DMG models, those guys do some crazy stuff. Absolutely lunatic level mods for these things. Like, I saw one where they took the speaker out, and in place of the speaker, they drilled a hole and put a new knob there, and what that did was, as he twisted it left and right, it overclocked and underclocked the Game Boy, which is pretty cool. So definitely check that out if you want some super impressive stuff for your Game Boy. That's I at least recommend going to look at the photo because it's pretty neat. So let's go ahead and, speaking of chiptunes and Game Boys and so on and so forth, let's play another track off of Computer Savvy from J. Arthur Keen's band. An amazing album, which I highly recommend you guys check out. And you are listening to Tiger Claw Radio.
Joshua Nurmiger, and you're listening to Tiger Claw Radio.
All right, and we're on with Scott, one half of Classic Elite. What's going on, man?
Not much. Just taking my lunch break right now to hang out with the listeners of Tiger Claw Radio.
We definitely appreciate you joining us. How's things been going over at Classic Elite?
Pretty good. We have some exciting stuff going on. One thing that we just confirmed today, Tony and I are going to be going to, and this is my first convention type of thing that I've ever been to, and I believe it might be the first for Tony, but up here in Ohio, in Toledo, Aaron, who's the editor-in-chief over at J2 Games, he on the side also puts together, it's called GlassCon or Glass City Con, and okay. Toledo's nicknamed Glass City. So Tony and I are going to be doing a small little panel thing and maybe some live interviews from Glass City Con, which would be kind of cool. And they do gaming and anime. Nothing about anime, so it'll be interesting.
I'm not much of an anime guy myself.
I just have no knowledge base on it. It never really caught my interest. I can see why people like it so much, because I've looked into more of it, and I love seeing some of the appropriate type of artwork and drawings and stuff like that. But it's impressive as art. It never caught me. There's too many things, I guess, grabbing my attention. So it'll be cool to see a bunch of people all excited about that kind of stuff together and see if anybody has any interest in our show. And then we're over 500 subscribers on YouTube, which was really exciting for us. It took a little less to get there than I was expecting. Tony's done an unbelievable job. He's made like 90% of the videos, so I say we lightly.
I've been watching. I've seen. I saw Tony's rockin' basement in that one.
He's like, "What'd you think?" And I'm like, "You could hang a sheet up and then put a and put a light behind you to get out of get away from the shadowing." He's like, "All right, that's cool." So, but yeah, he's Tony's willing to get in front of the camera. I still have yet to take that plunge.
I haven't done it with a video that stayed up yet.
No, I saw briefly, there was a contest you entered, and you had the video up for like a day.
Yeah, and I actually got a free game out of that, too.
Well worth it, then. Yeah, it popped up in like my subscriptions thing on YouTube, and I'm like, huh, Critical Failure posting a picture of a guy, I wonder who this is. So I just, when you're like, hey, this is Critical Failure, I was like, oh my gosh, so that's what he looks like, cool.
Yep. Yeah, I'm actually a real person, not just the blob.
Not just a cartoon?
Yeah. I kind of dropped the cartoon thing. It takes too long to animate. Just, like, forget it.
I was always so impressed with that, though.
Oh, man. It's such a pain.
I struggle doing a 3-minute video of an Xbox Live game and have video capturing stuff that does it all for me. And even that's a bear. So to actually frame by frame animate, I don't think I could have done it.
Yeah, I can't do that no more. It's a shame, too, because it tests really well. People seem to like it, because not that it's, like, impressive or anything, but it's at least it's something not a lot of people are doing. That's like
It was unique, and you did a good job with it. The lip sync was actually really good for just using Movie Maker. So anytime detail like that's in a video, I think people appreciate it quite a lot.
Oh, that's cool. Well, thanks, man.
So yeah, man, what's... What's new with TCR?
Oh, man. Let's see. The last 2 weeks, there have been some good deals out, so I'm broke again. Got some new games. Been playing a lot of that game Terraria over on Steam.
Yeah.
Managed to put 60 hours into that in 2 weeks.
Jeez.
Yeah. So that's like Minecraft. Minecraft keeps track of your time now. And my time is now measured in days. And
Gee. They literally started, they moved to the calendar. That was always the joke when I was growing up. I'm not swift on my feet. So whenever I was playing baseball or basketball or whatever, they'd always yell during sprints, come on, Lambert, we're going to have to time you with the calendar. They quite literally have moved that for you.
Yes. Yes, they have.
That's cool.
So that's cool. So we get this big elephant in the room, because E3 has just happened and Nintendo has unveiled their new console.
Yes.
And I know you guys as a whole are a little bit more modern than I am, so I'm a little bit interested to hear what you think of the Wii U.
Wii U.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, everybody just goes to that immediately. We recently had the Paranerds on Classic League, and they are really modern gamers, so they gave a good perspective. But my first impression is it's an awesome-looking system. I'm excited about it with a terrible name. So I don't know. I think that it's going to be a really awesome item to have in your living room. I think that it'll make gaming a little bit more convenient. I don't anticipate the controllers to be outrageously expensive.
Really?
I mean, I think the regular 360 controllers are outrageous right now. So I'm not thinking that what's another $10 with an LCD built in. I don't know. But that's my initial impression is I thought it looked really cool, looked like a lot of cool functionality and convenience, and a really dumb name.
You know, I'm noticing a trend with Nintendo. It's like the past three consoles have been progressively worse in their naming.
Yeah.
So, like, in another 5 years, when the successor to the Wii U comes out, it's going to be like the Nintendo Bag of Farts or something.
Yeah, I was going to say the Nintendo Turd. And watch us dominate. We'll make more money than anybody.
Downloadable content for your
Turd.
So that's cool. I like the idea that... It looks like they're trying to make it so that the multiplayer experience feels more like a LAN party with the screens and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought I wonder if that video communication will work as flawlessly as they showed in the demo.
I don't know. I don't know.
That would be impressive if they could pull that off. It doesn't seem like they'd be able to.
I can't help but feel like the technology that they're showing is pretty rad. But, like, the utilization as a whole, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be games that are awesome for it. The utilization as a whole is going to be crap. Like, the console to me looks kind of like a mess.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Because we had high hopes for the Wii, and then they brought us friend codes. Like, yeah. So, who knows? Who knows? I'm optimistic about it. I know Tony has been pretty pessimistic about Nintendo.
I think I'm with Tony on this one, but I don't know. Maybe it's just that I'm getting older, and Nintendo kind of caters to a younger crowd or a more family-oriented crowd.
That could be.
It doesn't play Blu-rays. I mean, come on.
I know. And because of the capabilities that it has, it's going to be hacked like crazy. It's going to be able to handle Blu-ray type of discs, so you know that somebody's going to be able to have some sort of a hack that's going to allow that laser to read Blu-ray. So eventually that'll come out. Kind of like how Wii's have a DVD drive in it, but here over in the States, they don't read DVDs unless you hack them.
Really?
So I think something like that will come out. I don't know. I don't really do any of that. It's over my head, but I do wish that it was a Blu-ray player. I think that they probably weren't able to get Blu-ray since it's Sony, and it would have cost an astronomical amount. They would have been looking at, I'm sure they sat down and like, well, do we buy Blu-ray or develop our own? And they probably figured it to be more beneficial down the road and cost-effective for the console to just do it in-house.
They should have got around it like Xbox got around the DVD edition.
With the little remote?
The little remote, so they didn't have to pay licensing on every Xbox, just the remotes.
Yep, my roommate had that freshman year of college. It's like, sweet.
Yeah, it seems like a simple fix to get around something like that. Because, I mean, you look at the PS3, and how many consoles have they sold just based on the whole Blu-ray capability kind of thing?
A ton.
That's the reason why we're getting one on Christmas.
That's why I want one. And, I mean, if you remember when the PS2 came out, that was the big thing, was you could get a DVD player and a PS2 for the same price as a DVD player, and people's mentality with the PS3 was when it first launched, like, well, I mean, Blu-rays are $400 to $500, might as well spend $600 and get a gaming system too, and now that the prices come down so much, I think people still have that same mentality.
Yeah, man, I don't know about this Nintendo console. This has got me wondering what Microsoft and Sony are going to follow their big players up with. I know we're not expecting anything for a couple of years from them.
But my guess is they don't even worry about Nintendo. That's not a demographic that they really target that often. They're probably just going to be eyeing each other more than they are going to be eyeing the success of the Nintendo console. Just because they got pretty gimmicky too. I'm hoping that the Wii U is not really just gimmicky, and I know that's what everybody's thinking it's going to be. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed.
Yes, but, hate to break it to you, bro, but it's going to be pretty gimmicky.
I know. Oh, well.
Although, in its defense, I am kind of interested in the new Smash Brothers game.
That is one I'm not interested in. I never really played it much. And whenever I did play Smash Brothers, I always got my butt kicked so bad. Which was the one that you gravitate towards more, the 64 or GameCube one?
I got into it late. I got Brawl. That was always my favorite.
Is that the Wii? Is that the one for
that's
Wii?
That's the Wii one, yeah.
Yeah, I played a little bit of that. My little brother, his roommate in college, when he was still in school, was really into Smash Brothers, and he would try to get me into it, but fighting games are not one that you want to put someone that's just really, really good, that everything's second nature, with someone that has no idea what's going on.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I was just getting crushed, and the questions I was asking to just didn't even make sense to him. He's like, it's like trying to explain how to sleep. He's like, I don't know, it just happens. Like, oh, this sucks. So
he sounds like a turd burglar.
Yeah. can be.
I used to have that problem with my older brother. He used to love fighting games. This is like back in the PS1 era. He'd be like, all right, man, let's get this game. Okay, play it for 5 minutes and just get crushed. You'd be like, what? Where are you going? I'm like, no, dude, I don't want to play that anymore.
Yeah. I do have to apologize to my little brother a little bit, because when we were growing up, I was that way. I was real competitive with him. And if I could pin him down and just the best was when we could get each other to quit the game we were playing. That was always it was never like spoken, like, oh, I'm going to beat you so bad, I'm going to make you quit. But we both felt like, oh, we dominated if we got the other one to quit. So I think that was kind of an unspoken goal between us.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Did you always come out on top?
No. I feel like I did. Like, he cheated if he beat me. I'm the older brother. I'm not supposed to lose anything, right? No, he when we were growing up, there were games that he was significantly better at, and there were games that I was. And unfortunately, some of the games I wanted to be better at, he was really good at. So that would in itself cause some heated debates between us.
But, yeah, I get together with my brother now. It's like, now I can kick your butt at all these games. He's like, yeah, but I'm better at having a job.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, well, screw you anyway.
Yeah. My we're good buddies now, but we still are pretty darn competitive when it comes to video games. We made an adult version of Mario Kart that's just insanely fun if you have a group of people around that involves consuming beer quickly. And,
yeah, very nice, very nice.
And it's funny because you don't get to the point where you quit, where you get frustrated, but you get frustrated playing against somebody because, like, my little brother knows the inside and outs of Mario Kart 64.
Right.
And so he can sit idly and then end up finding out how to lap me because he never misses any of the shortcuts and he knows every inch of that game. So I'll think I'm kicking his butt and then I'll end up losing. But it's one of those things where it's beverages are involved, so you don't really lose.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm not a big drinker, but I have played Drinking Halo.
That was I have not fun. Played Drinking Halo.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, we made this one guy cry. It was funny.
See, that's the thing.
Because you got to get the worst beer. You can't get good beer, otherwise it's no fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had Natty and Bush Light when we would do this, but basically the rules of the game are simple. It's called Drunk Driver. You can't drink. You can't drink and drive, right? That's just the law. So, same rules apply in the game, but you're not allowed to finish the race before you finish your beer.
Okay.
So, some people, there's a lot of different strategies. Some people just chug right away and then try to finish the race and catch up. And then some people try to drink as they go. And if you fall off the cliff, like my strategy is always, if my opponent falls or gets hit, then I will stop too. It's an addicting way to play that game.
Well, that sounds like fun.
So yeah, man.
Yeah. So
I gotta say, CF, it sounds a little more cough than allergy induced, or cold versus allergy induced for you. That's a pretty, that's a deep, deep chest cough there.
It sucks pretty bad is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Well, let's see. I think let me look through.
Well, I got to ask you then. On your sick days home from school when you were a kid, what was your go to I feel like crap game?
Oh man, Metal Gear Solid, I guess.
Nice. I always had to go with something that if it was a fake sick day, then like a Zelda or something really long. But just good old school Super Mario would always be mine. 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah, I don't know if I had a go-to sick game because let's see. I didn't hold on to games for very long. they'd either get thrown out or something like that. So so it's kind of just whatever I had at the time when I stayed home.
I remember having some sick days where Mario made me feel a little better. I was like, well, I'm at least playing Mario. It could be at school.
More than anything else, I think my older brother had a Game Boy, like way back, like 91, 92, something like that. And I wasn't allowed to play it ever. So when I stayed home sick, I would just search his room for this Game Boy. And he was like, I mean, this guy should have been a Navy SEAL because, I mean, he was the best at, like, hiding stuff. And I would just spend all day trying to find it so I could play Super Mario Land for 10 minutes before he got home.
That's awesome.
I remember that more than anything else. Well, Scott, I think that about wraps it up. So thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. It was definitely an awesome lunch break.
Ladies and gentlemen, check out Scott on Classic Lead at classiclead.com. We got a link to their website over in the other Kung Fu Masters section of the Tiger Claw TV main page. And I guess that's about it. Here's another track from J.R. Thakin, if you listen to Tiger Claw Radio. back with Jerry. What's going on, man?
Watching some Star Trek.
Which episode?
I'm watching Star Trek Enterprise because that's what's on the Syfy channel. And trying to torrent it because I've never actually seen that many episodes of this shit. And I saw a couple with Klingons. And Klingons are pretty fucking cool. So if it's got Klingons, I might check it out.
I don't think I've ever watched a whole episode. I hear it's good, though.
Yeah, I mean, Star Trek.
Are the Klingons like the original series?
Next Generation Klingons.
Ah, okay.
So, which brings me back to this episode of Deep Space Nine where they go back in time to the Tribbles episode. Right. And they ask Worf, like, what the hell happened? And he's like, it's embarrassing. And they just leave it at that. So I always assume that there's just some sort of, like, genetic catastrophe at some point. But apparently, so far back in time, they look like, you know, Next Generation Klingons. Then there's the TOS Klingons. And then there's the Next Generation Klingons again. So what happened? Was Worf embarrassed that they just looked like dirty humans? Because, you know, they, like, used some white actors for that shit, and they just, like, splashed some mud on their face is what it looks like in a lot of episodes. It's just, like, some smudges of makeup. So, was there, like, some sort of genetic catastrophe where just, like, for a few generations there was no head fins?
Oh, man.
I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever find out the answers.
I love how they never tried to retcon that kind of thing. Like, that. The timeline must stay perfectly in sync. So it's just like, yeah, we used to look like different, but now we don't.
We just wore silver tank tops.
It's like every other show in the world would just be like, oh yeah, that never happened.
Well,
those shows we made 40 years ago, yeah, early, no, that never happened.
Early Next Generation, the first season or two, had Gene Roddenberry, and it felt very much as hokey as the original series. Like, you know, the Tasha Yar days, they do feel a lot hokier than the end of the series.
Right.
But I
still love the pilot.
Which pilot?
The Next Generation pilot.
Oh, yeah. So yeah.
I can't even remember the name of it.
The one with Q.
Yes.
Counter at Farpoint.
Yes, and he's like,
okay, here, we're going into a whole Star Trek tangent. A while ago, Classic Lee proposed the question, who would win, Kirk or Picard? Now, everybody's thinking it's going to be young in his prime Kirk versus...
Wait, win at what? Picard. Like a fist fight?
They just said, Kirk, Picard, go.
Okay.
Now, I've got a few different stipulations. And if you actually examine the character of Captain Kirk, everyone thinks of brash, young, dashing, fuck it, I'm going to... self-destruct my ship if you don't apply. I'm going to go punch a lizard man. They all think about that guy. But there's movie Kirk, which matured. When you see him interact with his son in Wrath of Khan, you feel that he regrets not having been there in his son's life.
Galloping there's around just, the cosmos is a game for
there's,
young.
Yeah, there's a sense of maturity and wisdom to the movie Kirk that I think very much rivals and matches Picard. And then Picard is in the opposite scenario when in the movies he becomes action Picard. Look at him, man. Fucking Patrick Stewart looks ripped as fuck when he's in that Borg movie. He's just like fucking biceps all over the place, machine gunning, ripping spines out, fucking swinging off wires and shit, and he's just full on action mode. So you have the opposite thing to where he becomes a more of a badass as he gets fucking ancient.
So are you asking if it's a movie Kirk against movie Spock?
Not even that. I'm just saying it would make sense to put them at equal ages. Now, there's precedence with Q. There's an episode where he goes back into Picard's life and he stops him from getting in a bar fight where he gets stabbed, and that's why he has a pacemaker. So that gives precedence for Picard also being brash and hot-headed and willing to get in a fight with a 7-foot-tall, fang-faced mutant in a bar. So that puts these characters, there's a lot of parallels that people don't really think of because they're looking at opposite spectrums during their, you know, lifetime.
Well, I mean, if you consider what people normally recognize as the regular behavior from Kirk and Picard is like what the majority of their series portrayed. You know what I'm saying? Like Kirk, for the majority of the television series anyway, was the I'm gonna fight a lizard man kind of guy, and Picard for the majority of that series was.
Well, even then, let's look at the lizard man episode. Everybody thinks of the dun dun dun, you know, the fucking fight music, but he lets him live. He had that wisdom then too, after he fucked a green bitch and, you know, just proved his dick was bigger, and it's like, nah, it's cool, bro. You mad?
Well, I mean, he wasn't a sociopath.
He still demonstrated compassion and superior reason. So I think the fight's a lot closer, because everyone was saying fist fight Kirk, space battle, maybe Picard.
I think you really have to talk about, if you pit those two characters against each other, you have to pit them together more specifically.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's kind of what I brought up. And, you know, if you have Generations Kirk and Generations Picard,
I'm sure if they're on equal shuffle footing, Picard will win.
They're on equal footing. And, you know, that gives them a precedent for that's when they were in the same place at the same time. So that would be the most logical place for them to fight in the Nexus, where they still have residual effects or whatever the fuck Whoopi Goldberg said. I get a feeling that you like it when I talk Star Trek, eh?
It just reminds me of my wife and I went to this Star Trek phase where we were just watching, like,
yeah.
We were collecting old VHS tapes because we didn't have a lot of money. We got this big collection of old episodes of Star Trek, the original series. And then we started going through the movies, and we watched all the movies, and then we got to Generations. And my wife had never seen it because she didn't grow up a Star Trek fan. So I was like, no, it's a great movie. It's like the one where the old cast kind of passes the torch to Next Generation for the movies.
Yeah.
It's not bad. And she's like, all right, so we'll watch it. And we watched it, and she was digging it. And then as soon as Whoopi Goldberg showed up, she was like, I forgot she was in the cast of The Next Generation. Fuck it, we're not watching it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's all it took for you was Whoopi Goldberg. See, sometimes it really upsets me when you have
big hat and the platter on it.
When you have these asinine arguments for completely just disregarding something. Well, Whoopi Goldberg said no thanks. Look at Malcolm McDowell's in that shit. William Shatner's always a fucking joy to watch. It's one of the best. There's two really good Next Generation movies, and it's Generations and First Contact. Those are the only two that are really good. The last one was okay, but meh.
Which one was the last one? Is that the one
with the last one was with the Romulans, and they cloned Picard.
Right.
And, you know, that's supposed to be awesome, because apparently everyone thinks Picard's a total badass. Now, see, I think in a space battle, Kirk would win. I think if you look at their histories, if you put them in equal ships, because obviously an Enterprise D galaxy class fucking ship would just destroy the shit out of, you know, 80 and 100 year old vessels. So you'd have to put them in a similar ship. But if you look at movie Kirk, there's a lot of really good space combat where they're trying to fight the bird of prey with cloaking that can fire while cloaked. The fight with Khan,
the fight with Khan is what immediately comes to mind when you start talking about Kirk's space combat.
Because that is pure strategy. He realizes that Khan was from the far-off distant future of 1996 where they bred a genetic...
I love it that they never met face-to-face when they were making that movie.
Yeah. So he knew right away that he never had experience with space combat, so he didn't know he was fighting on a two-dimensional plane instead of in 3D space, and he fucking outwitted him. So there's clear examples of him, you know, being all about it. Plus, if it comes to a space battle, you got to start thinking about the crew members, you know, because they factor into it as well.
I guess.
And then it comes down to Spock versus Data.
I would have to give that one to Spock.
Really? You don't think Data could do some sweet-ass computations and figure out some technobabble bullshit with the tachyon field?
I don't know. That's a toughie, but
I would give it to Spock, too, because he's got the logic, and he's starting to get a little emotional, too, so he's a little thinking outside that box.
Whenever there's those characters have a battle, the Spock battle scenes tend to be, like, more awesomer. So those are the grounds for which I would give that one to Spock.
Who do you think would win in a physical confrontation, both movie Picard versus movie Kirk, and physical and space battle? Which one, who do you think would win in each of those?
Movie Picard was really old. I mean, he was in great shape, and he was definitely Mr. Action and stuff.
He was definitely by far Mr. Action, but you look at old Kirk, he's pretty doughy.
Yeah, you're right. That's a toughie.
Think about movie Kirk and Generations, the only time when they're standing next to each other.
He whipped that guy's ass in Star Trek VI, though, when he kicked him in the knees and that's where his balls were.
That was just luck.
Still funny.
I think the characters are a lot closer in terms of mental faculties and wisdom than people give them credit for. They just think of the hokey 60s show.
I love how neither one of those shows have had an episode in like 20 years, and yet here we are.
Well, it's still relevant. You know, was it 3 years ago that Star Trek movie came out?
And neither one of us even consider Captain Janeway. It's like, no.
Well, who's talking about Archer or the dick from Deep Space Nine? I can't even tell you that asshole's name. Captain Briscoe Melt? I don't fucking know.
Briscoe Melt? What the fuck? That's great. So, I was hoping to talk about E3, but I guess that's not going to happen.
Yeah, fuck that, man. I already talked about that with you.
But you know what we didn't talk about? Yeah, because we talked about it on your show, all about the Wii U and stuff. But you know what we didn't talk about? The awesome, awesome presentation that we got from Mad Catz.
Oh, they finally showed that game. Is that what they did? They showed their flight sim?
What I was able to find from them was controllers with little neon lights.
Neat. I guess.
Here, I will link you to the...
I'm still way more excited about Star Trek. I liked Star Trek Voyager. That wasn't a bad series.
I want a new series. I really do.
Yeah, but would they try to tie it into the movie?
Good point.
You know? Because people really didn't give a shit, and that's why Voyager died. But the network it was on, I heard they moved it around a lot and didn't really promote it and give it any respect. And that's sort of what killed it. So I never watched it when it was on. That was after I really quit watching TV, so I wasn't really watching anything.
Well, do you think there's going to be you think there will ever be another series?
More than likely.
Because you look at the movie that just came out, Star Trek 11 or whatever it's called. And that wasn't very, how should I put it? It wasn't a very, like, deep intellectual sci-fi movie. It was, you know what I mean?
My biggest problem with that movie, and the only thing is, I mean, I could nitpick and find smaller things. And I'm totally going to disregard the scene of young Kirk driving off, young Kirk driving off a cliff listening to the Beastie Boys. I'm going to totally throw that out the fucking window. Why the fuck were they building the Enterprise on Earth? They show him drive up on his little fucking unicycle thing, or hover bike, or whatever the fuck that was.
Why?
And he's looking at the Enterprise being built. Does that look like something that can escape Earth's gravity? Does that look like a structural design that wouldn't just fucking collapse unless under, you know, Earth's gravity? Those ships are not made to fly in and out of orbit. If you look at every other Star Trek series, they all have dry dock in orbit around Earth. That's where they build ships.
That's not true, though, because they landed it in Star Trek IV.
They crash landed in an emergency.
But it didn't collapse in the atmosphere.
That was also a bird of prey, which is a significantly smaller ship. It's also not as top heavy. You think the neck of that ship is going to support the entire saucer section in 1G?
That's true, but Star Trek universe has different building materials.
Transparent aluminum.
Exactly, transparent aluminum. Only one example.
The reason they did that was for the visual experience. The scene of him looking at his fucking future, and that's fine, I guess. But there's absolutely no way in hell that ship took off from Earth and flew into space. Being that fucking big, that thing would have just fucking flew apart.
So IMDb has a listing for untitled Star Trek sequel for 2012.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. That movie was pretty sweet. I enjoyed it. Good popcorn flick.
Very much so.
The only character I was really unhappy with was young Spock. The actor looks like him, but scenes like when he was a kid and he was beating up other Vulcans and...
No, I know exactly where you're going with this. But here's the thing, though. They had to package this movie for people who didn't know anything about the Vulcans. Yeah. So they had to show that the Vulcans were also capable of emotions and not just...
Well, you know, the entire reason that it matters that Spock starts to warm up after he fucking dies is that throughout the whole series, he's for the most part just straight up Vulcan as shit. And then, you know, after he dies and melds with McCoy, starts to be a little more human, a little more loose, and...
You're talking about one of the fundamental things that gets people upset about reboots, is that this movie wasn't entirely made for people who have watched those.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I understand it's true, and they're repackaging it, they're trying to sex it up a little bit.
A little bit, jeez. That was what pissed me off about the movie. It was like, out of nowhere, it's like, Uhura and Spock!
Well, there is an episode where Uhura... There is an episode where Uhura was a little bit on Spock, trying to get him going, just sort of fucking around.
It just seemed like... I don't know. It just seemed like Uhura was...
That was out of movie, place.
Just a terrible character that... didn't really add anything to the cast except
Nichelle Nichols is an excellent Uhura because there's kind of an intelligence behind her, you know.
Yeah,
scenes like where she's trying to do Klingon in Undiscovered Country and she's just, you know, you get to see her before. And of course the hot desert dance. A little bit of sex, a little bit of wisdom,
right?
But, I mean, come on, they're on a desert planet.
Yeah, but and they should have shot
anything
that scene
with a snatch
15 years earlier.
Anything with a snatch, even a fucking old-ass lady like that, that's a realistic fucking scenario when she's the only woman on the planet. I find no flaw in that logic at all, honestly.
But, yeah, I'll give that to you. So I guess that's Star Trek.
That's Star Trek for you. All right. Now, here's why Star Wars sucks. Borg Cube versus Death Star. Go. Reasons. Cite references.
Because I would say Borg Cube. Because, let's see. It's about the leadership. Borg Cube, they work as a collective. Whereas the Death Star, everybody's operating under a dictatorship.
Well, the Death Star has a planet-crushing laser. Now, granted, the Borg Cube looks a hell of a lot more agile, and the warm-up time on the Death Star's main weapon it may pose a problem. But full complement of, let's give it one Star Destroyer and a full complement of TIE Fighters. Is that sway your opinion?
It would depend if the Borg Cube could assimilate any of that stuff and obtain the frequencies to their weaponry. Then it would be Borg Cube all the way. Because the trouble is, they have that the planet-crushing laser, and that would be enough to vanquish them as long as they used it right off.
Yeah, 100%.
They had any adaptation time. But yeah, I don't know. Because they had that probe or whatever that they used in First Contact.
Yeah.
They could improve.
Well, that's a little bit of a MacGuffin. That's a little bit of a MacGuffin. That's just, we need to make this movie in the past.
Absolutely true. But
time travel Star Trek movies do better.
Absolutely true, but it does. But that does include it as canon or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, so I agree that it fits in that.
So this is what I think would happen. Death Star shoots the laser, blows up the cube, but before the cube blows up, they launch like a probe or something which impregnates the Death Star, and after the fact, the Death Star gets assimilated and becomes a new cube.
Now, what about Darth Vader as aboard?
As
a badass or the most badass?
Isn't he already a cyborg?
Yes, but as a Borg. He would be part of the collective.
So I guess the only difference would that
with
would be
force
that he would
powers.
Have light, I guess, on his eyeball.
With force powers.
Oh, nice.
And a lightsaber. A fucking Borg with a lightsaber. And force powers.
Very cool.
Because they're constantly adding the knowledge and technology. I know. Way to ruin the best movie villain. Now he's an emo.
No!
Guess what's under that helmet, Bieber hair.
All right, man. Well, that was an awesome wrap-up of E3 and your thoughts on video games in general.
Hey, there's a Star Trek game coming out with a Move controller shaped like a phaser.
Oh, what do you think about the Star Trek MMO?
That came out a while ago.
It did, but it was like $3 or something to get the... I think it was like last month they made it $3 and you could get the game and a month of play and everything.
Oh, wow.
Have you had any chance at all to take a look at that?
Haven't heard anything about it. I don't really follow PC gaming like that.
It's too bad. I need to get that on the...
Yeah, get it. Let me know how it is. I mean, shoot, why not?
Yeah, if I had a PC that could run it, I'd have been all over it. But
I think the phaser move is the only way I'll buy a move.
Yeah.
Just because being able to pretend you're shooting a phaser and see like maybe a Klingon or a Borg fall down would be pretty sweet.
I don't think I'll ever buy a move.
I strongly doubt it too, but I might buy that because that might be something that becomes collectible in the future.
Like, what does a move cost if you already have a PS3?
I knew it used to be less than the Kinect. The Kinect's like a $150 investment, and I think the Move was a $90 investment.
So we'll say roughly $100, give or take.
Yeah.
Something like that. If I had a so let's say my PS3 is here already, you know, it's after Christmas, whatever, and I had an extra $100 to burn, wouldn't go down.
Hell no. Yeah, well, obviously not. I mean, especially if you're just starting out on the wonderful world of PS3, $100 buys a shitload of used games.
Sure does.
See, also, yeah, you need the controller. Amazon's saying PlayStation Move Starter Bundle, $66, but let's see what actually comes in that cheapest one, because it's usually gonna be like, just get this dumb controller of the game. Includes game camera controller and charge cable. So, you could get one used for about $75.
Yeah,
it's
no
the best
way.
Best deal on Amazon.
Especially since I'm just...
But
still just
it comes like... with... It comes with the PlayStation version of Wii Sports.
No, you see, screw that now, because how long has Wii Sports been out?
Yeah,
have you ever played Wii Sports?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's not bad. I mean, if you like bowling.
It's not good.
It's not bad if you like bowling.
I don't know. I did some pretty weird stuff with that remote and still got strikes.
Oh, no, my girlfriend's pretty good at the Wii Bowling, so I'll get her to fire that up every now and then. Anything that keeps me from watching bullshit TV that I hate.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I feel you on that one. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tiger Club Radio is brought to you by Gamerscape.com, also brought to you by Scenic7PR.com. Thanks, Carl, for everything. And also brought to you by WastedSeconds.com if you want to see some articles on games and some celebrity photos of toplessness or whatever, go check them out. Thanks to Alamar for the hosting, and as always, this is Critical Failure for Tiger Club Radio with Jerry Terrifying. Signing off.